Welcome to the radio broadcast of Shiar Jashub, featuring the ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and along with the Church Fellowship of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, we are so glad you could join us for this Bible study program. The current series is Paul's Message to Agrippa, which will focus on Paul's sermon in Acts chapters 25 and 26. In this introductory message, my husband has been giving the background of the main characters Paul is addressing, specifically King Agrippa II and his sister Bernice, including the complicated lineage of their Herod family. Pastor went back to Acts chapter 12 and the account of their father, Herod Agrippa I, the highly political king of Judea who executed the Apostle James, and then later on gave a stirring oration before the people that inspired them to shout, "The voice of a God and not a man." King Agrippa I did not give glory to God, and so he was immediately struck by an angel and died, eaten by worms. When we left off, Pastor Greg connected this event to Jeremiah chapter 17, which concerns those who trust in man and not in the true God.
Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. When good finally comes, he's not going to see it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. There's not going to be the blessing. There's not going to be the bounty, and certainly there's not going to be the water of life, the eternal kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the great garden. Instead, they're going to be a desert. They're going to receive a desert. When good comes, they don't inhabit the good. They inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. Blessed, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Even if the heat beats down, even if drought comes, the roots are so deep down, and they're so plentiful, and they're so connected to the river, that the leaf will still be green, that the fruit will still come out. When we trust in the Lord God, even in bad times, we can be blessed. We're connected to Jesus Christ, and the water of life flows through us. But those who trust in the flesh, even if good comes, they're not going to prosper from it. As Herod Agrippa here, the worms ate him, Herod Agrippa I, and he died. This is the problem with modern ideology. Most things you hear in the universities, on the newspapers, on television, by the politicians, it is always what man can do, what we can accomplish. And there's a fear of talking about our dependence on God, except, of course, at the end of the conversation, you get the obligatory, "God bless America." Right, we throw that in there, you know, but it's always based on what man can do, not what God can do. And the scripture says clearly, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Herod Agrippa is not their strength. Yahweh Almighty is their strength. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Well, if you go back to chapter 25, Agrippa II here in Acts 25 is that Agrippa's son. And he's too young to assume all the territory that his father has. So Claudius gives him this area, you know, part of Galilee further north. And Bernice is Herod Agrippa's oldest daughter. She's one of his daughters. So they're brother and sister. Agrippa the second, and this Bernice here in verse 13, a brother and sister. Now, the Herodian family is steeped in incest. I can show you that in the chart here. Consider Herodias, for example. You know, we know Herodias is Herod Antipas, the one that beheads John the Baptist. We know she's his consort. He took her as a wife. He divorces his own wife. What happens is he goes to one of the palaces of his brother, Herod Philip the First. There's two Philips that are sons of Herod the Great. He goes to his brother's palace. He sees Herodias there, falls in love with her, says, I'm going to marry you, divorces his wife. She sees this as a great political advantage because her husband, the son of Herod the Great, is not a tetrarch, and Herod Antipas is a tetrarch of Galilee, so she wants it for political reasons. John the Baptist obviously denounces their immorality, and that's why Herodias plans John's death using her daughter with Philip, Salome, or Salome, depending upon which Bible dictionary you pick up or who you're listening to reading the Bible on the tapes. A lot of these names, you'll hear them pronounced all different ways. Most say the pronunciation is Salome. But Herodias herself, her name has Herod in it, right? Well, there's a reason. Herodias herself is a granddaughter of Herod the Great. A matter of fact, she's the sister of Agrippa the First, the guy we just read about who died of the worms. She's his sister, Herodias. Their father is Aristobulus. That's one of the other sons of Herod the Great. That's one of the ones he killed, right? He's the father. He killed him because he didn't want him to take his throne. He's the father of Agrippa the First, the grandfather of Agrippa the Second, and also the father of Herodias. So Herodias and Agrippa the First are brother and sister. Their father is Aristobulus, who is one of the sons of Herod the Great, one of the two sons. Alexander was the other one that Herod the Great killed. Okay, so when she marries Philip, right, when she marries Herod Philip the First, not Herod Philip the Tetrarch, he's got 15 kids, Herod the Great, though they got a lot of them sharing names. It's like almost like George Foreman with the Georges there. She's marrying her uncle, her half uncle, but it's her uncle. Okay. And by her uncle, she marries him and she has Salome, right? And then Herod Antipas, Philip's half brother, right? The Tetrarch of Galilee. He sees her, he's enticed by her. Herod the Great's also his father, right? So she's also, Herodias is also Herod Antipas' niece. Now you know why John was really giving it to them, right? Because they're steeped in divorce and they're steeped in incest. And that's just one example. And he falls for her, he takes her away from his half-brother. And again, I said politically, he's a tetrarch, so she likes this idea. And remember, Salome, I always say Salome, so it's hard to correct myself. Salome is his half-brother Philip's daughter, right? Right, because Philip has her with Herodias. And what is he doing there at the feast, Herod Antipas? You know, he listens to John, and then he comes back up, and he listens to John, he comes back up, and Herodias wants John dead because the people are listening to John, and she's looking more and more like an immoral woman. So she gets her daughter to do a dance, right? But who is that daughter? Besides being his niece, Herodias' daughter, he's also his brother Philip's daughter, right? So she's his niece, and he's there eyeing her. I'll give you up to half the kingdom if you dance for me. They're steeped in incest. Well, Bernice, this oldest daughter of Herod Agrippa I, the guy that dies of worms, the sister of Agrippa II, they come together here before Festus the governor. First, she's married to a man named Marcus. Then later, she's married to her uncle, another Herod, Herod king of Chalcis, Agrippa the first brother. Agrippa who died of worms? Her father's brother. So she marries her uncle, and that guy soon dies. Then she marries Polemo, king of Cilicia, but she deserts him shortly after the wedding. Something goes wrong there. And she makes her way back to Jerusalem, where she lives with Agrippa II. That's where we are here in Acts chapter 25. And according to some, she becomes his consort, her own brother. Now, there's debate about that. Some say, well, they just were very close mentally and, you know, they became a loving brother and sister. And you have a debate in the literature whether they were, you know, you hear a lot of preachers talking about them being, having a relationship together. There is a debate in antiquity about it. But the rest there's no debate about that she married, she was with the man Marcus. She marries him, then she marries her uncle Herod Chalcis. She married a guy, the king of Cilicia. She comes back, stays with her brother. And they have some type of close relationship. That's where we are in Acts chapter 25. And then she marries another petty monarch, and that doesn't last. Eventually, she becomes the mistress to the Roman Emperor Vespasian. And then when he's done with her, she becomes the mistress of Titus. You know who Titus is, right? Vespasian's son. Titus is the guy that destroys the temple, destroys Jerusalem in 70 AD, and disperses the Jews. And her sister, Drusilla, is the wife of Felix. Remember the governor Felix there? And she also has a history, which we won't go into. It's sad. The whole thing is very sad. Even Salome, she marries eventually her uncle Philip, the tetrarch of Trachonitis, and then she marries a cousin after that. You know, we never read any more about her in the Bible, but history, you know, is pretty, these people were prominent people, so the history is pretty clear on them. It's like the Caesars. And it's really sad. You have the example of two corrupt, shameless women of their time. This sounds like a Jerry Springer. Actually, Jerry Springer's not even up to this point, I don't think yet. A Jerry Springer society, all the marriages, all the incest. By the way, some of the pagan cultures allowed incest. Judeo-Christianity, you know, with the laws in Leviticus, forbids it, right?
Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF, and to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer, 30 Bible Lessons to Effective Prayer That Will Change Your Life. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub.